The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your sons ask you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to them, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery.' For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with faithfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christian men rejoice with conquered force.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to make the assumption that if you're present on the first Sunday after a Christmas just so recently passed, you'll give me a little patience for something that's going to develop a little slower. We, and I do mean we, are going to start with a close look at the text we just read. So if you would, take out your bulletin and look on the back to be able to give it a reference. If you've been in any of my Bible studies, you've probably heard me say that sometimes the ancient texts have a different outline than what we read. Even Ethan gets taught about a topic sentence first, followed by some supporting sentences. And then the paragraph would close with a conclusion of the thought that's been developed or a restatement of that topic. We are very linear in that way. Ancient texts can often be constructed with what we would call that topic sentence in the middle of the passage. And you know how this is by pairing up what is said in the text. The ancient texts are made to be read and then reread, and digested and pondered, to tease out their meaning, to not just be told what it is, but so that we all arrive at an understanding. And I think there are three layers to this text, the outer layer or the binding ribbon of the present, if you will, is the reality and grounding of the law. Look in verse 24. The first textual signal, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Mary and Joseph, and because of their piety, Jesus, did everything according to the law of the Lord. It was the ground of their reality and their spirituality. Then look down towards the end at verse 39. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, you get the repeat. The fancy term is an inclusio. The phrase law of the Lord is a textual signal of that outer wrapping of the present. The law is not something bad, but it's the starting point. As Paul would say in Galatians, the law was our guardian until Christ came. Catechism-wise, that's a first use of the law. The law is a curb. Paul would likewise say in Romans that the law came to increase the trespass, that by the law we become cognizant of our own sin. That's the second use of the law, or the law as a mirror. In either case, our understanding of God himself starts with the law of the Lord. Whether it's a natural use, as in the law reflected in Kipling's poem, The Gods of the Copybook Headings, we might be able to suspend it briefly, but as it's variously called the law, karma, or just reality, the gods of the copybook headings with terror and slaughter return. They were there, after all, for sacrifice. Or whether it's the religious use of the law, reflected in a proper preparation for repentance, an examination of ourselves under the Ten Commandments. I am a poor, miserable sinner. Things done and things left undone. Whether natural or religious, by the law of the Lord, we know we miss the mark. They were doing these things for their purification. But from the very beginning, the law was not the complete revelation of God. To Eve and to that serpent in the garden following the first trespass of the law, God promised that the serpent will bruise his heel and the seed will crush his head. Yes, the law requires its pound of flesh. We fail completely, but God's promised seed, a child, the law would bruise his heel, but it would not win. That child, that seed, would crush Satan forever. And so, look at verse 25. We are past that binding ribbon of the law and into the wrapping paper. Simeon, this man righteous and devout, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then look down at verse 38. Anna spoke of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. These two ancient seers, Anna at least 84 years old, depending upon how you read and translate it, she could be as old as 104. Simeon's promise that he would not see death before seeing the Christ. Late in time, these two ancient seers behold him come. God keeps his promises. The seed, that child, was now present. The consolation of Israel and the redemption of Jerusalem has come. And who or what is this redemption? Is it the son of a king? A mighty general? A genius young buck like a Jewish Alexander or an Augustus? No. It's an 8-day-old baby, born under suspicious circumstances to a threadbare heir of David and his Galilean wife. And Luke picks up an interesting point in calling this visit for their purification. Per Luke, Joseph must have served as the midwife. The post-delivery purification was theirs, together. Adam and Eve had both received the curse and the promise. And what was offered by Mary and Joseph were the turtle doves, the consolation offering of the poor. But blessed are the poor in spirit. God's promises are kept, but they're kept in a surprising way. Not how we would expect it at all, but this consolation of Israel is something different than the promise of an expanded promised land. This redemption of Jerusalem is not just that old city. So what exactly should we expect of this consolation of Israel and redemption of Jerusalem? That's the third layer. We're actually getting in towards the box at this point. Simeon speaks twice, separated by the core message. But let's not try to rush to that core message just yet. We want to understand by the time we get there. The first part of the consolation is that Israel is not Israel. Or maybe more appropriately, Israel is what she has always been. Not the physical heirs of Jacob, but the spiritual heirs who would wrestle with God and come away with the blessing. According to his word, given to Adam and Eve, those first humans, long before Abraham, Moses, and David, God has revealed his salvation. He's prepared it in the presence of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. We should hear just how strange that is. Because whether it was Artemis of the Ephesians or Jupiter Optimus Maximus of the Romans or Yahweh of Jerusalem, the ancient world was filled with gods who cared only about their people. But Yahweh, while revealing himself more fully to Abraham and his physical heirs, never gave up his claim on all the peoples. Yes, they thought they had him safely penned in the Holy of Holies. Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna are within sight of what they thought they had him penned in. But you can't pen God. The Spirit moves where it wills. In the voice of Simeon and Anna, in the overshadowing of Mary, and in the delivering of salvation in the presence of all the peoples. But the strangeness of this consolation continues on the other side, because Simeon speaks a second time, and this time he's speaking to Mary. This salvation is not a strict triumphal march, because this child is a sign of contradiction, or as our translators put it, a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul so that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. The way that Simeon and Anna stand in for all of the Old Testament folks waiting for the consolation of Israel, Mary here stands in for the church. And these words are addressed to us. This salvation is not of this world. The world will oppose it with all it has, because the church is a sign to the world. The church is the presence of God in this world. And the message and the proclamation of the church that this crucified one has brought us peace. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Is a sword that divides. It reveals hearts. Do you believe the promise of this baby? Do you do what is right in your own eyes? Is this the salvation that God has already done, by grace received in faith? Or should we expect another? Or no? And this sword that pierces even Mary, it pierces that sign of the church. Because some raised within her won't believe. Some raised high in Israel will fall. Because the victory of the church is the victory of that cross. God declares peace. But it's a peace to those that accept the cross. It's a total surrender, both from God and from man. God against our sin, completely forgiven. And man against God. It's a peace for those with eyes to see it in a helpless baby. Many won't. The judgment is easy because we judge ourselves. Do we see and ponder the sign? Or do we turn away? And that is the present within, the core of this message text. His father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. That's the invitation of Christmas. And the gospel. Marvel at what God has done. Ponder the mystery of the infinite revealed in a manger. Struggle with the paradox of the issuer of the law of the Lord submitting to it. But believe. Marvel. Believe that God has kept his promises in this one. And that those promises are for you. This Savior and Christ is your Savior and Christ. He did it for you. Depart in peace because you have seen your salvation. The consolation of Israel and the opener of the gates of the New Jerusalem, open in the sight of all the peoples, for all who would believe. Amen.